Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello, WWE Universe in the Philippines. This is Charlotte, and you're with Stan, Ro, and Raph on the SGP podcast. Woo!
Are you ready? Marks and Smarks. This is the Smarkiles Filipinas podcast.
You are listening to the longest-running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast. This is the SGP podcast, where we are fresh off the heels of Wrestle Kingdom 12, and some of us are still trying to put together the broken pieces of our brains. And in my case, I'm trying to get my energy up after that crazy Jericho Omega match. But before we get through our feelings, our emotions, and do our STFAP, or our sharing of thoughts, feelings, angst, and pains, it's Stan C, Romaran, and Raph Camus joining you. And we've also got special guest Anthony Cuello of SmartHenry.ph to help us sort through everything that went down at Wrestle Kingdom 12.
Or anything else, guys, Happy New Year. Happy New Year to everyone listening to the SGP podcast.
Happy Wrestle Kingdom Day.
Happy Rusev Day.
Hey, I got to say that on air, as a radio. On Rusev's really? Birthday. Yeah, because Christmas is his birthday, right?
And he was on.
Yeah, for the Christmas show, I was like, hey, here are the people you're celebrating your birthday with. WWE superstar, Rusev! Happy Jesus. Rusev Day!
Every day is Rusev Day.
Every day is indeed Rusev Day.
But the day is about Wrestle Kingdom 12.
That's right.
Yes.
Okay, so, gentlemen, first things first, before we get through the card, how are your brains?
Okay naman. Good. Yeah, my brain is a little fried, I'm a little tired right now, but it's Wrestle Kingdom. You know, it's one time of the year I expect to be tired, I expect to be wowed. So, I'm still in processing, I guess, but it was fun. It was a good show.
I'm actually not tired anymore.
Once you detach yourself from the five-hour circus that is Wrestle Kingdom, you sort of pull back and you're like, okay, breathe. We're good. What is going on now? How does this work? What happened? And I'm not as mind-blown as I was last year because we didn't end with Jericho Omega this time, but still Okada and Naito brought it, so my mind is slightly blown, but not as much as last year.
I'm not tired. I was expecting to be tired then, especially given how I am usually, but I don't know.
Marathon din siya.
We did spend like 5 hours sitting there watching Japanese wrestling, and we watched long matches for sure.
Ooh,
and
boy.
I don't understand. I don't know why I'm not tired. I guess it kind of helps that...
It's the adrenaline.
No, not even. I didn't feel any adrenaline because I'm not the one in the match, right? But I don't know. I guess it helped that we were watching it together.
Yeah, just to set the picture for everybody. Paint the picture for everybody. So we were cramped in a very... In a rather small condo unit. So there were 20 of us. Crammed in a small condo unit watching Wrestle Kingdom 12 off of someone's computer, which was up to TV. Right, so we had
in a
Japanese
private viewing party.
Yeah, in a private
mind
viewing
you,
party.
Mind you, we were invited.
Yes,
this
we were
is
invited.
Not, this is not Smart Henry organized, so for all of you who will say, bakit wala kaming invite? Sorry na lang. Hindi kami yung organizers
yeah,
this time.
We weren't able to do it this year for many reasons, but considering that we trended, that the show trended number 2 in the Philippines.
Which impressed me, by the way.
Yeah.
We did not expect
that.
We
were surprised.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting it either. I wasn't expecting it to be trending at all, but... I guess Jericho helped, but now that we know that we can draw this much, or we can draw this much conversation at least
online,
we'll definitely be working harder for next year.
Yeah, so yes. 20 of us were there, and you know, we had Japanese commentary on. So for someone like me, I only really watch New Japan every Wrestle Kingdom and probably like one or two matches throughout the year. It helped having other people there to explain things to me, like to run me through the scenarios, like, okay, who's the good guy here, who's the bad guy, what's their story heading into the match, explaining why they did certain things. And for the most part, we were marking out for like the first hour, diba? And then the admin of the building came in and served us a notice. They gave us a noise complaint. And they fined us.
We got fined.
Yeah, we got fined,
like
guys.
We were in the NBA.
got a fine.
That's how fucking loud we got.
Yep.
And like NBA players sticking up for their coach, we also stuck up for the organizers by chipping in our share of the fine.
Oh, of course.
And we knew very well that we had two more warnings before we were going to be legally evicted.
No. Served legal notice for possible eviction.
Which, according to the three lawyers present in that room, would take years to process.
Oh.
So technically, they wouldn't have been able to drag us out of that corner.
For tonight.
We were safe for Wrestle Kingdom.
Like, if we wanted to go apeshit over Jericho Omega or Okada Knight or even the four-way, we could have done that. And like, sign lang pera. But, you know. So that was the situation we were at. But nonetheless, I'd like to think we all had fun.
Definitely, I had fun. It was a bit, you mentioned it was a bit tight. But, you know, there's nothing like watching a wrestling event with people who really love wrestling like you do.
Absolutely. Shout out, by the way, to Yellow Cab, because the pizza that came over, even though we paid for it,
was actually excellent.
That was very
excellent.
Good.
Yes. Pizza.
Nice legally sponsored for today.
Yeah.
The hungry were adequately fueled today.
And we were hungry at that point that it arrived.
Yeah, that's true.
Hindi kasi fan ng Japanese wrestling yung kilala namin.
But yeah, so I'd like to think it was a fulfilling night. So what we're going to do is we're going to break everything down. By the time you've listened to this, we hope you've at least seen the main matches on Wrestle Kingdom 12.
Or the match you came to see.
Yeah. So in my case, it was Jericho Omega. But there were other matches on the card that are also worth talking about. So how about we start at the very beginning with the New Japan Rumble.
Rumble. May Rumble din sila. It's a mistake on my t-shirt.
Okay. Really?
It is. Here. Check it.
All right, so Kams is wearing a Wrestle Kingdom 11 t-shirt. And it does say Rumble.
Yeah, it really says Rumble.
But this year, it's Rambo.
So what's it going to be next year?
I don't know what other...
Rambo.
Funny story about New Japan mixing up their English. So apparently Don Callis wasn't supposed to be the color commentator for the English broadcasts. So pinitch ni Kenny Omega si Don Callis. Mm. But because he was associated with Lance Storm via the podcast, they reached out to Lance instead.
What?
Yeah, because they were like, oh yeah, we know Lance Storm, good Calgary guy. So Don Callis tells the story on Talk is Jericho. Uh-huh. So they invited him instead. Basically, the point is New Japan's English has a long way to go.
Mm.
And that probably explains why they can't get their shit together on products like your t-shirt.
Yeah, basically.
Anyway, okay. So,
the Rumble.
Yeah, the Rumble had how many people in it?
Because it's not as... It doesn't matter.
It was pretty fast. The Rumble, kasi, is like there are 1 minute intervals between entries, and the rules are either top rope elimination or your usual pinfall or submission elimination. So there are 21
or disqualification
or DQ. Yeah, DQ is actually a factor, and there were 21 people in this year's Rambo. It's a Rambo this year.
Yes,
and it was won by a guy not everyone actually knew,
Masahito Kakihara. Who has UWF affiliations.
Yeah.
And UWF was one of the companies that was feuding with New Japan back then. The reason he did win was mostly because of the Takayama sponsorship, fundraising something deal to support Takayama, who is one of these wrestlers who is nearing death. And this sort of plays into the fact that, what's his name? Minoru Suzuki, who is one of his friends, really felt bad about having to announce this, that he's not getting any better, just a couple of days ago. Like, I think on the 2nd, they had a press conference saying that, you know, they're just waiting at this point.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's the rough side of it. But the Rumble itself was fun. Not everyone knew the who won, but the why was explained in a post-match promo very well. Very excited that we got to see faces like Cheeseburger show up.
Delirious
was in this match
really
for some reason.
Interesting surprise. No, the ROH ties.
Yeah, I know, but like, I don't know, he would fly out.
So is it significant at all that Cheeseburger was a runner-up 2 years running?
I just think it's he's over. Cheeseburger. He's over Cheeseburger's there. Over there in Japan, and he has a lot of ties with New Japan guys, especially the seniors that he sort of excursioned with when he was in New Japan for what short period of time, 3, 4, 5 years ago.
5 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, and apparently he still keeps ties with guys like Liger, guys like sino pa ba? Marami, Kojima, those guys, the oldies.
Titos
of New Japan. Yeah.
Nakanishi is another one. So, and that's it's not as significant, but then it's just like, ah, cheeseburger, this is his thing now.
All right. Okay, so given Dalton Castle won the ROH World Championship a few weeks ago, the final battle, was there any significance to the fact that he wasn't present at the Rumble?
No. Usually, there are times that the ROH title has been defended at Wrestle Kingdom. It's not always a great match just because the crowd isn't as into it.
Mm.
But it's there. It's a prestige match.
Well, Dalton Castle, because he hasn't been involved with NJPW as much. Only when they do the War of the Worlds, the Global Wars shows
that he gets involved. But he doesn't have history with the Japanese audience.
He hasn't been booked yet
on their end.
Although, considering his character, I'm actually surprised that he hasn't been booked yet.
Well, I mean, the War of the Worlds shows were fun, but then that was done stateside, cassette.
So yeah, I mean, I'm surprised that NJPW hasn't picked him up yet.
Considering
his character.
True.
All right, next up, your second match was the Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championship match between the Young Bucks and Roppongi 3K.
Oh.
All right, so I didn't get to watch this match either, but the Young Bucks did win, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it was
seven times.
Is it like the third year in a row that the junior tag titles have been defended in the opener?
Yeah, parang
ganun.
Parang two years
since,
running.
Since then.
Wrestle Kingdom 9? It was the opener. It was the four-way.
So it's three, yeah.
Wrestle Kingdom 10
was also a four-way.
So it was also the opener.
Yeah.
Last year...
Was it three-way?
Was the
Bucks?
Bucks against... Was it Roppongi Vice?
Yes.
Roppongi Vice, which Roppongi Vice won. Well, yeah, and won then there was one more tag team involved.
So it was also the opener.
Mm. Opener did.
So yeah, four years... running now.
4 years running. It's not, and it's not a bad way to open.
Yeah, great match. Actually, I appreciated the fact that it's a normal tag match now, and it brought out the best in the rookies in Roppongi 3K.
Yeah.
And they just proved why they would be a new force to be reckoned with, so junior tag team division.
No slouches there on Show and Yo's end, and minimal involvement from Rocky, which is good, because you're showing that these two can hang with, by far, the best junior tag team in New Japan history.
Mm. I'm curious about the Young Bucks, though. Because if the junior tag team match has been opening the show 4 years running, that means that the Young Bucks haven't really ascended through the card.
It doesn't matter
on New Japan end, because the Bucks are famous enough that it gets the crowd hot, and they do their job. They do their job, and they've presented a lot of, how do you say this, what you can come to expect from the Bucks on a New Japan show. They innovate a lot more stateside, and that's where you leave it. Now here they will wrestle clean, they will wrestle with minimal shenanigans, but it's the spot fest.
It's just a place on the card.
Yeah,
it's not really a matter of ascending the ranks, because they won the title, so that means they've ascended their rank.
Yeah, and to cement their legacy in a way with this win is something that, you don't get to do every day, especially at the Tokyo Dome. Now, they didn't win the titles how many years running? 3 years running, that end.
Yeah.
Now, apparently, they were always involved in the match but didn't win. And for them to win it now, it's nice.
All right. After that, you had the gauntlet match for the never open weight 6-man tag team titles,
which will change at New Year's Dash.
Does it always happen like that? Now, someone wins a championship at Wrestle Kingdom, then New Year's Dash, iba na ulit yung champion. I know it happened last year.
It happened.
No, kasi yung 6-man titles are yung pinakapatapon na championship.
They're the hot potato belts of New Japan.
And it's understood na parang this is. Yeah, here, have it. It's yours.
It's just a championship for guys who have nothing to do to hold. So,
and sadly, those guys this year are Ishii, Yano, and Trent.
And Trent.
All right.
Even if Trent... Okay, but the significance is that Trent got the pin.
Yeah.
Which is nice. Mm-hmm. Which is nice to see, because Trent has had a really great Q4 for New Japan.
Okay, one of the things that I noticed on social media is how people were pretty upset that Ishii was relegated to this match. So did Ishii have a good showing this year, or like
Ishii deserves?
Did it do him justice?
Ishii deserves a higher spot on the card, kasi, and he has for like the past 2 years. Na parang he could have been, he can be booked better, but isn't.
Yeah. I don't got Grimo. We'll never overweight the Namuncha. It's fine.
It's fine.
If he had had his Wrestle Kingdom moment in his brain bustering of Fale.
Which is cool.
Yeah, so that was something.
That was nice.
That's nice. This match is structured that you get to see enough of all of the teams, all of the factions involved, and without having to really sacrifice too much going on.
Was it a long match? Because when we arrived, I think nasa final 2 na.
Yeah, it was so, bullet
mga,
club na.
Mga seven, official time is 17 minutes 3 seconds, which is not too long, but long enough. Long enough that you can see everyone get their spots in, which is good.
All right. Next up, you had the special attraction match between Cody and Kota Ibushi.
I would like to quote somebody who was at this party. Who did
Are we
going to
name this person?
No, we're not. But he knows who he is. That this was the best Cody match because Kota Ibushi carried him all the way.
Yeah.
Same with Okada.
I agree. Yeah.
Mm. Na parang, I will say that Cody hasn't had stellar matches in ROH. Mm. But he's had his moments.
No, the problem is for some reason when Cody was champion, for some reason they would let him. Parang it seemed like they would let him write the matches and how they would be structured, especially with the Suzuki match. I was so surprised that Shane was not doing. But if you can see with matches like with Okada, you can see na iba yung feel if someone is taking charge. So for this one, I think that Ibushi was able to get his spots in, and even though I hate Ibushi for being so damn reckless,
and he was very reckless today.
For people who are wondering why I don't like Ibushi, it's because he's very reckless. But on the other hand, I have to give it to him because if it were not for his recklessness, Cody wouldn't have had a good match.
Yeah,
it's sort of telling because that Cody needed somebody who could sell the living shit out of his arsenal of moves. And Ibushi is the right guy. I like the matchup. I would like to see it again down the road in ROH. But to be honest, Ibushi had one of his better Wrestle Kingdom matches tonight.
Can you just take a moment to appreciate Brandi Rhodes? Because she came out there and played a really good role today. And it made me wonder, why did we never see this in WWE?
Because she had to be the announcer.
No, but gets like not every announcer has that personality and has that ability to just make love to the camera the way that Brandi did. So the way that she played to the camera, the way that she interacted with Cody, even the way she interacted with Ibushi, it was perfect.
Like I do. That was a quote.
Yeah, it was a quote from the match.
Oh, can I also just point this out? That anyone who loves Zelda, notice how Cody is such a freaking Zelda mark.
Yes.
With his gear and his cape and the stuff that was on it. It's beautiful.
It's Hyrule shit, diba?
Hyrule shit, motherfuckers.
Yeah. So there. Alright. Are we good with Cody and Ibushi?
Yeah. Okay. I think I will have to give Cody best gear of the night.
But
I have to. Maganda yung red and gold on him. Looks good.
Yeah.
And matching with Brandy.
And Eminem hair.
I actually like Eminem. I like it.
Slim Cody
has grown on me.
Actually, now that I think about it. And then we were conditioned by two different roads having bleached blonde hair.
True.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, yeah.
True.
Actually,
true. Is it a tribute to Goldie?
No, it's his father. To Dusty. Yeah.
No, but subsequently. Okay.
Yeah, si Cody na nga tayong ano, diba? Yung brunette sa kanila.
Yeah, Dustin
is brunette. Naturally a blonde.
Dusty is a blonde.
The brunette bastards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alright, was the next match the tag team championship?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So it was the Killer Elite Squad versus Los Ingobernables.
Yeah, it's Evil and Sanada.
Evil and Sanada.
It was good, but it was just there.
Yeah. Na parang, you've seen better out of Evil and Sanada. KES is just getting their footing back. Yeah.
I love KES. Like, I haven't really seen them in action, so I was very impressed by Lance Archer.
Well, they were on NOAH for a long time.
Yeah, so they only came back to New Japan last year.
Like, this time last year, right after Wrestle Kingdom. That's why we didn't get Suzuki last year. At the end of the day, kasi, with KES, powerhouse, power moves.
Yeah, and they look
and
so much
good.
Bigger. And I think it's
they
also because
much bigger.
I think it's also because they're paired up with Japanese guys. Oh, and there's something
Americans.
About it's something about them being white Americans paired up to Japanese guys. Na lalaki na talaga sila by default.
Oh,
but
like Jericho.
Yeah, like Jericho.
True.
But the way that I forgot who it was, I think it was Sanada who took that choke slam for, yes, from Lance Archer. Yes. The way that he sold for that choke slam just really made it look so legit.
Sanada is one of, like, if you had a most improved, he would be in that conversation for New Japan this year. Now, parang he has upped his game ridiculously this year. And the culmination of winning a belt with it, tag belt with Evil, is nice.
All right, so you, I'm going to have to ask for your help on this. Because heading into Wrestle Kingdom 12, I'd always assume that LIJ was still heel. Right? So this is one of the first matches where LIJ started coming out and getting a lot of face support, at least from the show. So what was it about LIJ that's won the fans over, and why is he a baby? Why are they baby faces now?
It's a cool sila.
That's basically it.
Cool sila.
It's the, I'm sorry just to be sucking my own faction's dick, but it's the Trian de la Torre effect.
Wow.
For, to localize.
Wow. So kayo yung cool.
Yung pa cool. No, it is the LIJ effect.
And then it's actually the network effect.
Yeah, there. Okay, fair.
Actually, na muna din sila. Okay, let's go with, but that started with Chino. So Chino would be their Naito. Could you say that?
Yeah, sige.
Okay.
Okay. Sure. So it's the network effect. The network effect where they start out as heels, but people love what they do in the ring. And it translates to merch.
But do they still do heel tactics in the matches?
Every now and then, yes. But not as much as before. Not as blatantly as before, where they would gang up on people. Na parang nowadays, that's more Suzuki-gun's thing.
Okay.
Na parang so, they've taken over that realm of we are evil and dastardly and fuck everything.
Especially since they came back last year.
Yes.
So at this point, which are the heel factions aside from Suzuki-gun? Is Bullet Club still a heel faction?
Yes.
Yes. Definitely.
Very much clearly, definitely. With the exception of Kenny.
So your babyface factions are Chaos and LIJ and Taguchi Japan.
Yes.
Okay, so that's the table.
Taguchi Japan plus freelancers.
Yep.
Alright. Anything else on the tag match?
Cool gear also.
Yeah, I love cool I love Archer's entrance. Or the way that he carried himself through the entrance. And he was just water bottle after water bottle spraying and like just dousing water on everybody.
How many bottles did he go through?
I counted seven.
Seven?
Yeah. Counted seven. Alright, so next up you had the never open weight hair versus hair and no seconds death match.
Yes.
So between Hiroki Goto and Minoru Suzuki.
My personal favorite because, you know, the never open weight championship matches are what got me into New Japan. And ganda. So good. Nobody expected to be cheering for Goto.
Yeah, because
I didn't. Yeah,
I didn't
either.
Naparang the second that he got choked out from the top rope,
from
the top rope, a la what's his name? The dude from
what
NXT? Eric Young. Eric Young does this.
Yeah,
naparang
yeah.
He chokes the guy out from the top for like 2 seconds and then releases. But Suzuki just kept him there for a very uncomfortable
him,
like 10 seconds and then just murdered the fuck out of him.
That match is so memeable, can I just say?
It is. There's a lot of things going on. Ready to go
on Monday.
Ready for Monday.
But the thing is, the way that it was structured, it's typical Suzuki. I will murder you. I will make this uncomfortable at the start.
And it was super uncomfortable.
Yeah, the whole way through.
That's the thing. Usually it's just at the start where it's like, okay, and then somebody else gets their shit in. And then they sort of have these moments where you're like, okay, he's fighting. And ito, Goto for like, how long did this match go?
This match was 18 minutes.
18 minutes. So I would say the first 15 minutes of this match, Goto is like grasping at straws.
Trying to figure out how to fight back.
How to survive, let alone win. And that's where it gets uncomfortable. And that's where Suzuki thrives. Now, if this is your first Minoru Suzuki match, you're welcome.
Yeah, it was for me. It was for me.
Wow.
Okay, you should go back and watch his stuff with Shibata. That's fun.
Is it the shit that actually ended?
No. It was in the lead up to.
It was towards it, but it wasn't the actual death.
It wasn't the death bell.
Alright, I have a question. So Suzuki's like 48 years old, right?
He's old, yes.
How the fuck is he still alive?
He's the BAMF of Japanese wrestling across the board. Na parang the titos, diba, there's that, like earlier we said, the titos are relegated to the rumble.
Yeah.
Minoru is the guy who fucking challenged for Okada's belt this time last year, right? Yeah. After.
I remember this, yeah.
No, parang, you have to give credit to the guy's longevity and his ability to stay relevant across multiple institutions.
And his toughness.
And his toughness, because he doesn't wrestle slouch matches. He doesn't bump as much as he used to, but he doesn't wrestle like a slouch. Mm.
Anthony, what do you think about Goto actually winning and getting this Wrestle Kingdom moment?
I feel happy that Goto actually won this match. I wasn't expecting it, so it was a nice surprise. And at least he gets to keep his hair. That more that than anything, I really did not want Goto to lose his hair. Magiging magkamukha sila ni Ishii. Chaos. Kakalbros na sila. They'd be, yeah.
We'll make a good tag team, though.
They'd make a good tag team. But it's a nice win, again, for Goto.
It's a nice
win. A little wary where this moves forward, because we've seen this before.
Yes.
We've seen Goto win before and go on to not really do much. Mm.
Yeah.
So let's see what happens maybe tomorrow at New Year's Dash.
Because like I was going to say, Goto got his redemption moment last year.
Yeah.
Na parang beating Shibata and then getting the belt. This year, it was more of just like, oh, okay, this is your match. Go with it.
I had the impression that Goto was actually going to be bald by the end of the match because he shaved like the sides of his head the way that I do, diba? Except na sumabi yung buhok niya. So I was like, oh, baka sinasanay niya yung sarili niya.
No, ganun siya.
Ganun siya. Parang his sides are really shaved. Yeah. Very samurai-like.
Okay, all right. So
he is the old school samurai of
Japan. if there's one guy following Wrestle Kingdom whose matches I want to see more, it's probably Suzuki. He is awesome.
I will give you links.
Yes, please.
The most uncomfortable of links.
If you've never seen Minoru Suzuki before, he's basically the guy you don't want to be your girlfriend's dad.
Mm. Sure.
Or Tito.
Dad.
No, dad would scare me though.
Right? You'd dad shit your Suzuki. Pants upon meeting him. You wouldn't even want to shake his hand.
Mm.
Right.
Does he have kids?
I don't know.
He has a store though.
He does have a store.
Yeah.
So I was telling Anthony when he told me, now, oh, he has a store which he manages. I'm like, if I see him behind the counter, I'd be like, not sure if my ari or magnanakaw.
Pero sigurado tayo, hindi siya estafador.
Ah, yes, yes.
Even if they share a hat.
All right. Moving on.
Okay.
You got the 4-way match for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. Will Ospreay defeated Marty Scurll, Hiromu Takahashi, and Kushida. Thoughts, gentlemen?
Wow.
This is a great one.
It was a great one, pero yeah, I kind of agree with the people who say that Ospreay shouldn't have won it.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know. I just don't know. There's something about him that I don't really want to encourage.
But didn't he just win the Super Juniors?
Yeah,
he did.
Okay.
So isn't his trajectory generally up naman talaga?
I don't know. Paano malaki ulo niya? I don't know.
In kayfabe or in real life?
Both.
Both.
Is it because he's taken it upon himself to be the ambassador to Australia?
No.
There's a lot of other things going on.
Mostly his style.
Him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Na parang he's taken upon himself to become, to overstep.
Mm.
Especially at his age na he has so much promise. He was handpicked by Okada this year? Last year. 2017. In 2017 he was recruited by Okada to come into Chaos.
Mm.
It's something that somebody at his age should just be, I'm really happy to be here type, and then you eat the falls for like an entire year. Mm. But he wasn't eating falls. He was winning matches, he was being competitive, and it broke the mold a bit, especially with the way, the schedule that he keeps.
Mm.
Yan din yan eh.
So if Will Ospreay wasn't supposed to win, who would you rather see win the title at
Marty,
the end of the show?
Marty retain. Marty's upside is a little higher than I would say Kushida's at this point. But Marty retaining wouldn't have been out of left field.
No, I think I would have gone with either Kushida or Yujiro. Hiromu. Sorry, fucking Takahashi's.
It's true though.
I miss Yujiro. I wish I'd seen Yujiro and the Bullet Babes.
Kushida is a Yujiro though, but Hiromu was pretty over, so I was expecting him to go over there. And Kushida is always Kushida. Although, kahit medyo daos na yung pagiging junior heavyweight champion, I still like seeing him. I still like watching him work.
Kushida doesn't have bad matches.
Yeah, not at all.
Yeah.
Like, even when they're short ones. But at the end of the day, Will Ospreay is okay. If he loses it tomorrow, all well and good.
Alright, Anthony, you mentioned kanina, before we started recording, Kushida was kind of shoehorned into this match. So, what was it about, or was it you mentioned that, or someone else at the...
I think it was someone else, yeah.
Alright, so, I'm not sure what it is, but like, it felt natural to me, because in the last few years, I'd seen him in the junior heavyweight title matches. But watching him there, I think I see the similarities to TJP. Like, it's something I didn't notice until this year, na parang, they're very, very comparable in terms of style.
Yes.
No,
very technically proficient, can strike
and can fly.
Yeah, like nobody's business,
right?
But at the end of the day, na parang you don't know where to put them.
Skrull though was really impressive because in this era, na, it's hard to find a true heel. He was the true heel in that match.
Mm. Yeah,
right. So Marty, I love his work there.
Marty's been the campiest of camp heels across multiple promotions.
Yep,
and he's one of the best parts of the Elite.
It helps that he could actually pull off classic mustache twirling Bond villain that gimmick, no?
And it's great. If you catch his stuff with Ospreay, with every permutation of these guys throughout the year, it's still pretty good. Especially in Super Juniors, the tournament was great. So Marty's 2018 has more upside than Ospreay's win tonight.
Okay. Now, let's move on to the Intercontinental Championship match between Hiroshi Tanahashi and Jay White. Alright, so a lot of us coming into Wrestle Kingdom 12 were thinking that this was Jay White's match to win.
Yes, I was.
It was Jay White. It was.
So why was there a collective air of disappointment when Tana won?
Because Tana's been broken down quite often this year.
I would say it's more of why we're also disappointed in the main event's results, which we'll get to later. It's more of Gedo's insistence that the old guard should be, or the big three at least, should be
protected.
Should be protected and kept as champions. For some reason, I agree that it was pretty counterproductive to build a guy like Jay White up, bring him back, give him a new gimmick and, you know, make a big deal out of him, basically, and then have him lose to someone who is getting broken down.
Yeah. Na parang, it was... All of the mitigating factors were there for you to give Jay White. You are returning young boy. You are given this great gimmick that is edgelordy as fuck, but works. And you're going up against the former ace. And there's nothing holding you back, really. Na parang, you should win. Logic dictates this guy should win. But you saw that Tanahashi was playing up the injuries that he accumulated in 2017 from the bicep to the knees.
Yeah.
He is not the same Tanahashi that went one-on-one against Okada for a couple of years running. And that's the thing with Tanahashi at this point. He's on the downslide of a Hall of Fame career. And shouldn't be working matches like this.
It's basically a nudge. What do you mean should be working? No, he should be giving the rub to people who are up and coming. It's basically the problem we used to have with Cena. Nah,
he wouldn't put people over.
No, he wasn't being made to put other people over.
Yeah.
So, okay, this is something we talked about in the car on the way here from the viewing party. Some of you mentioned that it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility to see Tanahashi drop the title tomorrow at New Year's Dash. So it's later by the time this is released. So if this were to happen, who would he drop the title to and how?
I don't know.
Chris Jericho!
Yeah.
I wish. No, if he dropped it to Chris Jericho, that would be okay. But if he dropped it to somebody like, I would say, Hiromu.
Hiromu.
I would believe that. It's not too out of left field to give LIJ one more title, one championship, and at the same time it allows them to build a new star. And Hiromu is one of those stars that should be built this year.
Alright, last thing.
But you know, we'll see what holds by next week's episode.
Last question before we move on to the next match. Jay White is currently unaffiliated with any of the factions. And one thing about New Japan is almost everybody's affiliated with some faction. So where does Jay White go from here? With whom does he align?
I think he goes through a lone wolf phase for a bit. Goto did it before. Yeah. Na parang he was lone wolfy. Who else? Shibata was lone wolfy for the longest time.
But those guys are still lone wolfy.
He's still a lone wolf.
Those guys are baby faces, though. Like, is it possible for a heel to not have any rest back in New Japan?
I would want to see it. Yeah.
So it's never happened.
He could be the, well, not in recent memory.
So, okay, last question. When Kurt Angle and Brock Lesnar were there, with whom were they affiliated? Or hindi pa factions era nun?
Hindi masyadong ma-factions when they were there. Na parang,
Brock wasn't affiliated with anyone. I think Kurt was more of TNA.
Yeah. TNA did have their foot in the door at the time.
All right. Okay. Now, let's talk about my favorite match from the show.
Mine too.
Alpha versus Omega, Chris Jericho and Kenny Omega in, I think we can call this match of the night, right?
Give it all the stars.
Yeah?
All the stars. Kenny Omega.
Seven stars, eight stars. Yeah.
This was the match where I was really expecting the whole room to go ape shit and get us another fine, get us another warning. Thank God we didn't.
We respect that.
We showed a lot of Japanese level respect throughout the match. Finger claps, silent applause, a lot of mouthing of expressions and expletives and all that. So.
And very quiet Terminator.
Well, not you, Camus.
Not me.
That wasn't quiet.
Not me.
Yeah, you were one rung below apeshit already.
Almost through my laptop. I wanted Jericho to win.
Okay. Kenny Omega wins.
Yeah.
Which is not a bad thing.
Oh, yeah, it was the expected result.
It was the expected result.
Saying, you know, young guy, old person.
But Chris Jericho winning this one would have blown the roof
off. It would have sent shockwaves.
Because what they did, okay, just to contextualize, Kenny Omega Okada last year that closed the show was mind-blowing, and it sort of set us off on this mind-blowingness saga that occurred in 2017. Mm-hmm. For Kenny to follow it up with this is no disappointment, but at the same time you're like, well, what if he loses, diba? That's like stroke your mustache and be like,
I thought of that because I wanted to see Kenny slide down further and have his own Okada arc,
by the redemption arc.
Pretty much.
It's
pretty much a thing in New Japan because there are so many people who are deserving and you can only have so many people
in the main event scene
and win all the time. I guess it would now be Naito's since Omega has successfully retained. But I just wanted to see it just because of how good Jericho was working tonight.
Yes. This is the best Jericho match I have seen.
In a while.
Like, I would dare say since Shawn Michaels at Mania.
But it's...
Okay.
All right.
It's on that level.
I can kind of get behind that. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. It's funny because all Jericho had to do to work like a New Japan guy was to go to Japan.
And cuss.
And cuss, yeah.
Which he did.
It's amazing. It's a testament then as to how good he really is or how good he could be if...
If he was unrestricted.
Unrestricted, yes.
Unhindered.
No, is he not unrestricted as is? No, I would say that he is.
In WWE?
WWE. He was in WWE. When he was in WWE, especially the past 3 years, you could see there were things he wanted to do but couldn't,
right?
Just because he's old, he needs to work with other people, he needs to work shorter matches. He can't go on a marathon like that for WrestleMania anymore, diba?
And the match itself, this match, going off what Gama said, this match with Kenny did feel different from other NJPW matches, for sure. It definitely felt different from the matches Kenny has been working, but he proved that he was still able to keep up with how New Japan and its audience expects its wrestlers to perform.
Yeah,
and I'm actually pretty amazed. Yeah, with that style, amazed with how he worked it. Because I can tell he was having a lot of fun,
for sure.
With all the exchanges and all the near falls and all...
All the crazy shit that they did.
And to me, it was pretty impressive the way he was able to walk both the fine line between the two styles.
I've got to ask you guys a question. Like, do you guys see the New Japan style of wrestling as, say, being the more modern style? Because
it's more evolved.
It's kind of like how in the NBA, it's a different brand of basketball than we saw, say, in the 90s. Now, it was more physical, slower pace. Now it's pace and space. But in wrestling, would you say in a New Japan is saying it's more evolved? Would you say that?
I would say.
I wouldn't say so.
Okay.
To me, because I think the style with WWE is the same. Similar, heavily similar. It's just that New Japan is more willing to go longer and have more marathons than WWE ever will. All so right. What you see between the two is really just the same thing. It's just that in New Japan, the wrestlers have a lot more time, or are given a lot more time to unfold. Even with the lower card matches, you would see that even in the most inconsequential championships, like kunyata, the never open weight six-man tag titles, and a junior heavyweight champion junior heavyweight tag team championships, they got a lot of time. Yeah. And normally in WWE, you know, mid-card titles, what? You'd only get 10 minutes tops.
15
minutes if you're lucky.
Yeah, if you happen to land on the kickoff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nah, it's the case here is nah, they let them breathe.
All right.
They let them breathe a lot more. You give them the space, you don't feel rushed. Nah, parang, I would say even the best New Day Usos match, it doesn't feel like a marathon, eh? It's like everybody hits their things, go to the finish, yeah, good. Here,
no, a New Day Usos match would actually be the closest thing to a New Japan tag match.
Yes, which is what I was going to get to. Now, it's very close in style, but it doesn't breathe as much, which is what they allow them to do in if you're talking about styles.
Anthony, you and I are writing a predictions column for 2018. And one of the predictions that you wrote, which you told me you were about to change, so I can pretty much spill this on the podcast, is that Chris Jericho will wrestle one more New Japan match following Wrestle Kingdom 12. But following this loss, do you think that still holds true?
I would want it to hold true, but I'm not holding out on the
possibility
of it. I just realized because in the Jericho schedule is going to be a little busy.
It's even actually this full. This half of the year?
Medyo, yeah. Medyo. He did mention the dates that he was working on the latest podcast. Okay. So he is kind of full.
He has the tour with Fozzy for one. And he then the he has the cruise.
When ends the cruise? May? May-ish?
I don't remember. I should know.
Anyways, Jericho's already in Japan right now, so I'm sure he's going to be doing New Year's Dash.
Maybe he
or
might
at least
do
an
it.
Appearance. Yeah. Mm. At least an appearance to set up something.
Tag match him, for sure.
With who?
Yeah, with whom?
A lot of guys. Come on.
Okay.
Probably Suzuki-gun or L.I.J.
L.I.J. wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility. Oh. But what I could see is that maybe middle of the year, towards the end of the year, Jericho comes back for a one-off or even for the American specials.
Mm. What's their SummerSlam by? Is it Dominion? Is that their SummerSlam?
Dominion is sort of their...
Or is it Dontaku?
No,
Dominion is the Osaka show.
Yeah, the
right?
Osaka show, which is close
sort
to
of their SummerSlam.
Sort of their SummerSlam or their Royal Rumble. Na parang everyone knows shit's gonna go down.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Alright. So last question before we move on to the main event. I was Gabe Ruaro and I we sat next to each other at the viewing party, and both of us were kind of asking ourselves, "Now, shit, this is actually happening. I can't believe it." But we were telling ourselves this as Jericho made his entrance. And ultimately, what's the impact of this match in the wrestling landscape? Like, how big of an impact does a match like this actually have?
On everything?
Yeah, on everything. Because we've established that Jericho basically broke the boundaries. He broke down barriers in doing this with Kenny Omega in New Japan.
True.
But does this set up the precedent for, say, more WWE talents crossing over? Because the way I see it, Jericho is able to have all this leeway because he's Chris fucking Jericho. Mm. If it was someone like, say, Dean Ambrose, Vince would probably tell him to go fuck himself.
I would say, I don't think that it would cause... I think it would cause current WWE employees to go over there right away. Because obviously it's Chris Jericho and he doesn't have a deal right now.
Yeah.
So I would only say that those who are alumni and want to...
Or with expiring contracts.
I guess, with expiring contracts. And those who want to increase their profile even more. I think what Jericho did paved the way for more guys to see NJPW as a
viable option.
Viable, feasible, lucrative destination for wrestling. Ini yung mas malino na number to kesa sa TNA.
Oh. Because or ROH even.
Yeah, definitely more than ROH.
Because the thing here is na Jericho proved that for the right price, NJPW will do business.
Although, though, speaking of ROH, if you go to ROH, you're pretty much basically working for NJPW anyway.
Yeah, at some point. But it's not, you are in Japan, the way that the Bucks have a deal, the way that Elgin had a deal.
Think of it this way. Let's look for someone who's almost on the level of Chris Jericho. Let's say Brian doesn't renew his contract with WWE this year. For sure, NJPW is going to let him
wrestle.
He's going to come knock to NJPW, and they're going to let him wrestle. For sure.
G1 Climax, yeah. Daniel Bryan.
I would say that if Brian was smart, he'd be doing the same
one-off.
Not the one-off. He'd be coming in the same Wrestle Kingdom spot Jericho did. You know, I think,
why waste it at a G1 Climax show?
Here's a bold prediction.
G1 in the States is
Nisha Abbott in G1. His contract.
It expires after the G1 in States.
I don't know the exact date or month, but I remember vaguely that Brian's contract expires around Q3.
Yeah.
So
what's your prediction, Ro?
So my prediction, is Brian is going to be the next special attraction, ex-WWE guy, to be in next year's Wrestle Kingdom 13. He will be the draw for casual fans.
Ooh. Are we okay with this, though?
I am okay with this.
Given his health?
Yes, I am fine. Because I believe in when he says he's okay. I believe that... I know the conspiracy theorist in me believes that Vince is preventing him from wrestling just because they don't want the fans to hijack the shows again, and they don't want the possible liability that would come with if Brian has to get injured or suffers another concussion.
Here's the thing,
before Kamas goes, they let Shibata work his thing until he had to collapse.
Yeah.
So reckless, though. Like, as a company,
it is reckless, but it is top level wrestling.
You saw Omega take fucking chair shots to the head.
Raw chair shots,
unprotected.
So you know that Brian would have a clear, a clean slate to do whatever he does.
This is so scary, though. Like,
I'm not scared because I believe in that he's fine.
Okay, here's the thing.
If Daniel Bucks have cleared him, he's fine. Sorry, let's go.
It's okay. You had good points.
Yeah, thank you.
Adam Copeland, also known as Edge, is on another level of he will never wrestle. You know that he can never wrestle. Yeah, he will never take another bump.
Yeah.
What Daniel Bryan has is previous concussions and maybe bad back. He's had time off. He's had time off to heal up.
To recover.
I'm really going to trust your hypothetical medical degree here.
No, it's not hypothetical. I'm quoting what he says his doctors tell him.
Yes. The non-WWE doctors have cleared him.
Oh.
It is these guys.
NFL doctors have cleared him.
Yeah. And the thing is, if an NFL doctor, and the NFL is my realm also, says that you're okay, you're at least cleared for full body contact for 90 minutes.
And you gotta be smart enough then to say no to the shit that will hurt you and not be a Kota Ibushi.
Yeah. And the thing is, Brian at this point doesn't wrestle that kind of match. He doesn't have to be as reckless as he was in ROH or at peak WWE. He can wrestle a slower pace. Just like Jericho did. Even though for everything that he did tonight, if you watch it back, it's a lot slower than the fastest Jericho has ever gotten. So... what I'm trying to say here
is he did take a neck bump on the chair.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And not just that. The one on the table was pretty bad.
But at this point, Jericho is in much better health than what we think Brian is.
Thanks to DDP yoga.
No, and not just that. He doesn't have the same concussion history.
True.
Or
as far enough about hypotheticals. Let's move on.
That's the prediction. Daniel Bryan for Wrestle Kingdom 13.
Wow.
That's scary, but
I would like to see that, but I would be scared as shit. I want the ticket to go to Tokyo now.
Camus, let's start booking.
Let's start saving money.
Yes, and looking for flights and hotels.
I would laugh so hard if it wasn't Daniel Bryan. If it's a, I don't know, Rusev or Zack Ryder.
Ryback.
Ryback
would probably be like on the level of Cena Lance Archer.
Yeah, that's true.
That'd be sad.
Wrestle Kingdom.
If you get Ryan back instead of like Brian, I would just laugh so hard, and I'd probably play the smallest violin in the world for you guys. But
Wrestle Kingdom 13 excursion.
Anyway, all right, let's talk about the main event. And here we go. Like the viewing experience, I've also run out of energy again. Mm. I'm gonna be quite honest here. While watching Okada Naito, Okada won, by the way, if you haven't watched it yet. I was pretty much out of it until the last third of the match. Mm. And a lot of it has to do with just how explosive Jericho Omega was. At the same time, I had a finger on the pulse of the room, which was clearly pro-Naito. Mm. And I think the internet was also pro-Naito. I could be wrong. But there was a lot of disappointment, at least in the room, following the Okada win. What does that say about New Japan's booking? And this is something we touched on nakanina, but what does it say about how they're handling Okada and how they're handling Naito?
Okay, for some reason, Gedo is just holding on to the Okada dream. Yeah. I don't know. It's the same fixation Vince has with Cena or
Roman Reigns at this point.
Roman, Roman Reigns. Yes, yes. That's a much better comparison.
Yep.
Even though there is very vocal public support for the challengers, it seems that, I don't know, for some reason, they want to hold on to it. But I would give Gedo a little more credit because even if he would still hold on, I think he's still much more likely to turn Okada heel and go with how the fans are reacting to him.
The thing is here is na you have to understand Naito's arc also. Na this was his point of redemption. This was, if you were to liken it, this is a very parallel to what Tanahashi and Okada went through at Wrestle Kingdom 9.
Yes.
Where you knew it should have been Okada. It should have been Okada. And Tanahashi still wins. It's lol, Tanahashi wins. At this point, it's not troll booking. It's just, you know what? Okada has just minuscule amount of things to achieve that are within his grasp. Number one being the longest reigning IWGP heavyweight champion. And two most title defenses by an IWGP champion ever. Those two things are within reach in the next quarter or so. Mm-hmm. And if he accomplishes this, he becomes top ranked on all lists undisputed. And the thing is, Okada deserves it. By many measures, he has been the modern day guy that people can look to and be like, that motherfucker right there was the best in the generation.
I would actually say that he's this generation's Sean.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can say that. I agree. You can say that about this guy. And how old is he? He's like
20-something.
20.
He's 29. 29?
9. Yeah.
2 years older than us.
2 years older than us. Which is difficult to fathom because he has an entire lifetime still ahead of him. And he's already an all-time great right now. And I'm okay with sacrificing Naito the slightest bit, because once Okada is done with this, once he has his glory run, and once he slides back down, Naito will shine.
Now the problem, kasi, is whether you trust Gedo to actually follow through and you know put the championship on Naito. Because the way they tell stories is pretty long form. So Okada had this coming for this reign. Had it coming for what?
Three years, as you mentioned. 3 years, almost.
Yeah. Because of the Wrestle Kingdom 9 thing. And the fact is that Naito isn't also getting any younger. So the problem now is how long before you actually pull the trigger? Because to me now, andami na nakapila.
Kenny.
How long before you pull the trigger on Kenny? Because I would have pulled the trigger way early last year. I would actually pull the trigger in Wrestle Kingdom 9. Last year's Wrestle Kingdom. And Shibata too. If he didn't get injured, I would have pulled the trigger on that just because of how much more compelling each challenger to Okada is, considering and given the reaction of the crowd to each of them. First, I don't know if you noticed, but the crowd has been wanting to see all of Okada's challengers beat him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for some reason, something is not taking. Although I still have a lot of trust in Gedo to turn Okada heel when the time comes. It's like Roman Reigns. It's like with Roman Reigns. With each successful defense, you believe a little less. You have a little less faith on whether they'll do the right thing.
So who's in line? You mentioned Omega.
Kenny and Naito are tier one.
Yes.
Kenny and Naito are tier one. Suzuki's tier two.
Yeah, he would still be in the running.
He would still
really
be in the running.
But if he really wants to, who would say no to him, right?
Yeah.
How about Ibushi?
Yeah, Ibushi is like tier two, but not as solid.
Ibushi is tier two if they really want to put effort in him.
Yeah, because after the Tiger Mask thing, he did okay, but not great. In that,
I wouldn't trust Ibushi because he's so reckless and fragile.
Yeah, in that
and freelancer, pa rin siya, diba?
Yeah,
technically. Yeah. In that tier two as well, I would add some of the LIJ guys. At least.
Yeah, like Evil and Sanada,
this year have proven that they are at least consideration. And
how about Ishii?
Ishii.
If they also really wanted to, Cody is also a far tier two.
Tier three, oh. Na siya. Cody's a tier three.
Where would you place Juice Robinson?
With Cody,
yeah, I agree.
Juice needs to win a secondary belt first.
That's true.
Na parang Cody tuloy. Juice could be the guy to take the belt off Kenny, and I'd be okay with that. Na parang if Juice is the guy who takes Kenny's IWGP US title away from him, I'm okay with that if that elevates Kenny, because that elevates the right guy in Juice.
All right, as we wind down here, I've got a question for you, Anthony. Because given how the card played out and given how every match went down, should Jericho Omega have main evented the show? Because considering the arc that Naito went through and considering the impact of Alpha Omega, should that have main evented the show?
Okay.
No. I was asking Anthony.
I know. That's why I'm
You had enough homilies tonight. I'm giving Anthony the airtime.
He pointed at me.
No, I would not have main evented Jericho Omega. Yes, it's the draw. It's what got the casuals in because it's Chris Jericho.
It was the better match.
But at the end of the day, Okada Naito is still more essential to what NJPW is, to what they're building towards.
No, I think Jericho Omega is still the best because it proved that NJPW doesn't have to stick to a formula. They have a formula, whether it's the slow main event style or the hard-hitting strong style. In the never open weight matches.
So you're saying it should have main evented?
No, I'm not saying it should have main evented. I'm just saying that, especially given the, even though there's precedent, I would just say that it was still the better match.
I don't think we're disputing that. I think should it have main evented the show? Regardless of the match
quality. It shouldn't have, but it could have. They could have, but I do feel sorry for Okada and Naito for having to go after that. Mostly because it was Jericho and Omega was such a breath of fresh air, and to follow that up with another formulaic NJPW match, while great, is still something that we've all seen as people who've already watched before and not new to this. Yeah, but if we're talking about the casuals who were brought in by Jericho, yeah, it probably didn't help. Okada and Naito's cause.
Yeah, I would classify myself as a casual, and I was just out of it.
Yeah, I'm sure they would have tuned out if not left altogether.
Yeah,
so I still wouldn't have put them below.
All right, Padre Camus, get on your soapbox.
It's not about should that have main evented, because the thing is, part of Naito's arc is that he got screwed over for this main event. Before.
At Wrestle Kingdom 8.
Yes. At 8. A lot of what he has been working towards in respect to the respect angle towards him and what he is as a star is that no one's ever taken him seriously enough to be that guy. To be the one challenging for the belt or holding the belt at the end of that show. He's worked towards that in the past 3 years. His story arc is so reliant on this, on the fact that he would main event Wrestle Kingdom, that he is that face on that marquee. The match in itself is already a win for him. But the fact that he loses, well, it's not the biggest of deals, because you saw at the end of it, he was still smiling. He knew he did something right. That he is sort of absolved of a lot of problems that he had leading into this. Going off of the Padre Camus.
Okay. All right. Last question for the round table before we get out of here. We're approaching an hour. I didn't expect us to go this long. How would you rate the show?
Six stars.
I usually grade using letters. So
you know, if we're going
I think I grade it A+.
It's an A+.
Yeah, same. It was a good show.
I was compelled from top to bottom.
It was a more compelling top to bottom show than last year.
And you were there
and I was there. And I was there in person.
The weakest match was the Intercontinental Championship match, and even that's not a slouch because, you know, it's Tanahashi.
Yeah, I would say na top to bottom, everyone performed better. Everyone up their game a little bit more.
To be more realistic, I'd give it an A if we're considering the weak link.
Okay. I'm still A+. I'm still impressed. I saw new things tonight. Not everyone who should have won did win, but I'm very happy with the result and the potential for NJPW moving forward.
Yeah, same. I'm fine with the results. I like most of the results. I thought it was a good show from top to bottom. I'd probably put it at A+, like Camus.
All right. Now, before we get out of here, I've got to let you know that while we weren't able to host a viewing party for Wrestle Kingdom 12, we can announce as early as now that we will be hosting our third annual Royal Rumble viewing party at Skinny Mike's.
Third na ba tayo?
Third na to.
Third. Wow.
Yeah, so this will be at Skinny Mike's again, January 29, last Monday of...
22 is the 25th anniversary of Raw.
Yeah. So last Monday of January for 2018. We're gonna be there as early as 6 a.m. We're not sure about ticket pricing just yet because with everything going up in the next few weeks, we'll have to figure stuff out.
Thanks, Duterte.
Yeah, thanks, lawmakers.
So much. Thank you for that law.
Yeah, fuckers. Anyway,
bitches.
So we're gonna have to figure out ticket pricing, but we do hope that you still come and join us. It's going to be another fun show, and if we could have filled it up last year and turned the second floor into a fire hazard, we hope that we can do the same thing this year. And, you know, not really turn it into a fire hazard, but still have a good time, right? So that should be on deck for the month of January on top of Kingdom Come, which is PWR's first show of the year. It'll be the day right before January 28th naman. It'll be at Power Max.
21.
1 week.
Di ba magkano?
No.
I don't know. I've been fired.
Grabe, na fire ka lang. Di mo na alam.
You call that separation? Separating from your tasks and shit. No, not separate.
Yeah, just to be clear, Kingdom Come is 21.
Mm. Right, and the Rumble is on the 29th in Manila.
Yes.
All right, so there. Those are your dates for the month of January.
Wrestle Kingdom Come.
All right. So take note of those, and we'll update you with the prices in the coming weeks. So, Anthony, thank you so much for coming over and helping us break down Wrestle Kingdom 12. Big shout-outs to Rhea Takumi and her team for putting together the viewing party that we were able to attend.
Thank you, daughters.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us. And to the fine folks who find us and warned us with those noise complaints, we'll probably never see you ever again.
But you're doing your job, so it's okay.
Yeah. So, you know, we're not cussing you guys out. Right, so on behalf of Romaran and Raf Camus and our guest for tonight, Anthony Coelho, thank you so much for episode number 199. Stick around because next week we got episode 200.
200!
Yes! And we're going to promise to keep it 200 all the way through.
Hey.
Right, so on behalf of my cohorts, we are out of here.
Peace, sit down.
Be humble.
Goodbye. Glorious! No, I won't give in till I'm victorious. And I will defend.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.